The words of God given to us today are from Psalms 119, verses 153 to 160. It is found in page 896 of the Old Testament. The words are from Psalm 119, verses 153 to 160. I will read the words. Look on my suffering and deliver me, for I have not forgotten your law. Defend my cause and redeem me. Preserve my life according to your promise. Salvation is far from the wicked, for they do not seek out your decrees. Your compassion, Lord, is great. Preserve my life according to your laws. Many are foes who persecute me, but I have not turned from your statutes. I look on the faithless with loathing, for they do not obey your word. See how I love your precepts. Preserve my life, Lord, in accordance with your love. All your words are true. All your righteous laws are eternal. Amen. Before we begin, I would like to say a few words. I have safely returned from 4 months sabbatical that the church has provided. God has given me the opportunity to visit the past and present mission fields so that I may become better at my pastoral activities. I personally experienced how much God loves each person and how he wishes to save even one more life. I will serve our church, Christ's body, from now on, so that our church will make efforts to add to God's salvation works. Thank you. As the psalmist reveals in the preceding stanza of today's text, he is beseeching God's salvation in the 20th verse of Psalm 119. Now we can guess what kind of a situation he was in by his request. He's asking God to save him. How desperate must he been to cry out to God no less than 3 times for God to save him. That there are persons who wish to quit life and say, I want to die. There are people who say, it is better to die than to live like this. Unlike such persons, the writer of Psalm 119 did not lose hope for life, although he was in a situation where he was near death. What do you think is the reason that he asked God to save him? And what about you? Have you asked God to take you away because you find it too difficult to bear? Or do you ask God to save you without abandoning hope in life? What is the reason that one is not to lose hope in life? We need to know that reason, like the psalmist did. God has allowed precious life to each of us to live on this earth. We cannot give up on hope of living because we run into hardships in life. Look at the situation of the psalmist in Psalm 119. There were numerous people who persecuted him and who were his enemies. But the psalmist does not lose hope for life despite the persecutors and enemies who threaten his life, and asks God to save him. Dear members, if you are in extreme difficulties, it is my wish that you would not lose hope for life and that grace be with you so that you can ask God to save you. This is what psalmist asks God in midst of his troubles. This is from verse 153. Look on my suffering and deliver me, for I have not forgotten your law. The sufferings and the troubles that the verse 153 is talking about means pain, poverty, and disasters. People who are in suffering are people who are suffering from physical and mental pain, people who are in poverty because of financial distress, and people who run into natural disasters like pandemic, flood, or fire. If one were to not lose hope in life, but lift up one's eyes to look upon God, the grace of salvation will come. The word deliver in verse 153 implies that the suffering that the psalmist is experiencing is like one having fallen into a pit that one cannot get out of. Let's assume that that we were walking alone at night at a place not frequented by people and fell into a manhole. We can only live if someone finds us and get us out of there. The Bible often describes a person in trouble as someone who has fallen into a pit. If you fall into a pit during war, you must get out of that pit before the enemy discovers you. You die otherwise. Joseph was thrown into a pit by his brothers. It was a kind of pit where he could not climb out by himself. When we look at Job chapter 33, it says that not being able to climb out of a pit that one has fallen into is death. Prophet Isaiah and Prophet Jeremiah also testify that not being able to come out of a pit is the same as destruction. If we were to put it differently, a person who has fallen into a pit but cannot get out is a person who needs to be rescued. It symbolizes a person who can only live if he is rescued. Now, today, are we in a kind of a pit? There are people who cannot escape from a pit. These are people who are shut up in a pit that cannot be seen. The pit is the pit called secular values. We can say that people who think secular philosophy, customs or culture are beneficial and devote their passions into it and cannot leave them behind are people who are in suffering. These are people who need to be rescued. Of course, the situation they're in may be different from the kind of suffering that the psalmist is facing, but nonetheless, there are still people who need to be rescued. But can they, by themselves, petition God to save them? If they're unable to do so themselves, shouldn't someone else petition God to do so on his behalf? Shouldn't his family pray for God to deliver my son? Deliver my husband and my wife. Deliver my father and mother. Deliver my sisters and brothers. Then, how are we to pray for this? The basis on which the psalmist could petition God to deliver him from the pit of suffering that he could not get out of was the laws of God. Through the psalmist's confessions, we learn that a person who can petition God to deliver him in the midst of sufferings without losing hope for life is a person who does not forget the words of God. In other words, the hope for life comes from the words of God. A person who does not forget the words of God is a person who knows the will of God, someone who knows that it is God who gives life, and he is a person who knows clearly who will defend him. We can confirm this from the psalmist's confession in verse 154. Defend my cause and redeem me. Preserve my life according to your promise. The psalmist knew clearly who can defend him and deliver him midst of his sufferings. The words redeem me means atone for me. Atonement means taking on the financial or physical problems or burdens in place of a relative and thereby resolving the problem for the relative. It would mean actions like paying off the debt of a relative or taking on the business of a relative or continuing the family line of the relative. When we read Book of Ruth, Boaz, who allowed family line of Elimelech, Naomi's husband, to continue, is the atoner of Elimelech's family. But the most noble act of atonement in human history is the event where Jesus atoned for us all of our sins, and died on the cross. When the psalmist petitions God to deliver him, he is saying, take up my troubles in my place. We can think, in a sense, that such petition is rude. But the reason the psalmist could petition for this was that he knew God's words. Preserve my life according to your promise. Only a person who can rely on God's words and continue to have hope can petition God to deliver him or her. In contrast, a person who abandons hope for the lack of words does not petition God for deliverance. Verse 155 testifies to this. Salvation is far from the wicked, for they do not seek out your decrees. The reason that salvation is far from wicked is because they are wicked, but also because they do not seek the words of God. Here, a wicked person means someone who intentionally commits sin. We say that people who habitually or intentionally do evil is worse in terms of quality of his or her crime than someone who commits crime without premeditation. But is there anyone who is born as a good person, a righteous person? Even if we are born into a Christian family, a man is born with a sinful nature. Until we are born again in Jesus Christ, we may not be a wicked person spoken of in today's text, but we are a sinner under the power of sin. Then is there no way for sinners and wicked persons to be saved? when Jesus was hung on the cross. The thieves to his left and his right were sinners and wicked people. One of them received the grace of salvation from Jesus. So not all sinners are left without salvation. Even if a person is wicked, if that person seeks the word of God and abandons the evil which is within him, will receive the grace of salvation. The salvation becomes unreachable, not because a person has been or is a wicked person in the past or now, but because that person does not seek the words of God. Who should help these people so that they can be delivered? It's us. We must do so. We must live in ways that are befitting of being Christians in our life stations so that wicked people can seek the words of God. But no person can receive salvation by acts. Although we may seek God's words and live according to the words, there is a limitation to what we can do. And for this reason, we need the mercy of God. The psalmist petitions for the mercy of God for his salvation. This is from 156. Your compassion, Lord, is great. Preserve my life according to your laws. The Hebrew word raham, which means mercy, also means the mother's womb. A fetus within the mother's womb receives nutrients and oxygen without any condition from the mother. God's mercy is like this. In the same way that fetus receives all of what he or she needs in mother's womb, we need the unconditional provisions of God. That provision can only be received when a person is within the womb of God's words. If we leave the wombs of God's words, we cannot maintain our life. The psalmist always dwelled in the womb of God's words. Verse 157 shows that the psalmist dwelled in the womb of God's words. Many are foes who persecute me, but I have not turned from your statutes. The psalmist did not turn away from God's statutes. He knew that the wombs of God's words is the territory in which he could have unconditional and limitless provisions, while at the same time being the most safe place to be. And so he did not leave the words of God. And one of the things that the psalmist repeatedly confesses in Psalm 119 is how he never responded to his many persecutors and enemies who caused troubles for him in a human way. He always acted in the way that God wanted him to act within the words. The psalmist did not pay evil for evil, but left the recompensation to God. In this world, there can be many who persecute me and who are my foes. It could be someone who actually physically threatens me or does me harm. But it could also not have a discernible shape. But no matter what this thing is or who this person is, when we are being tormented, we are tempted to become angry and want to strike back in a worldly way. However, we must then think of God's words. What should I do in this case? How would God want me to act? We must find answers in God's words. The psalmist was in a pit of suffering because there were many who persecuted him and there were many who were his enemies, but he did not respond the way they did. He always looked for answers in God's words. The reason he was able to do so was because he did not turn from God's statutes. The psalmist did not respond in kind to his persecutors and foes, but he did respond. This is from verse 158. I look on the faithless with loathing, for they do not obey your words. The persons who are faithless is described as persons who are false. In the first instance, they are the wicked persons who are mentioned in the preceding verse. But if we were to presume persons who do not keep God's words in all-or-nothing way of thinking as sinners who cannot be saved, then we would not find any relevance in verse 158 for ourselves. But by any chance, am I included within the scope of persons who do not keep God's words? We need to think when we did not keep God's words in our lives. Isn't it true that although it would be good if we could keep God's words perfectly in all aspects of our lives, aren't there occasions that we are not able to do so? And there are persons within the faith community or in our family who do not keep God's words. Sometimes they wander away or go away from the Lord's path. The believers who are a part of the family or the faith community cannot help but be very concerned for them. A person who can be sorrowful, like the psalmist, is a person who is within the mercy of God, within the womb of the words of God. This is similar to when Jesus became sorrowful upon seeing a faithless crowd, or when Ezra sat stunned by how some within the faith community did not keep God's words. But the sorrow of the psalmist is not simply being sad over their actions. It also contains anger towards their actions. The word sorrow, the word translated as sorrow in Korean Bible in verse 158, also has the meaning of anger. Jesus, upon seeing the faithless crowd, did not simply experience sorrow, but strong passion, which became stirred within him upon the inability of the people to believe him, although they were faced with the very reality of their faith, Jesus himself. Ezra also expressed his anger towards sin of those who did not keep God's words in the faith community. Because of that anger, he tore his clothes and pulled out his hair and his beard. What about us? We say we should not hate a person a lot. Yes, that is true. But if we were to love a person without hating the person, then shouldn't we also have the anger about God's words not being kept? How often do we cover over and beautify actions that are truly ugly and despicable? How often people remain silent over unethical behaviors or events? How often are acts that are not within God's words committed in the pretext of human dignity. Although we should have pity for people who do not keep the Lord's words, and even if that pity turns into deep sorrow, shouldn't we feel anger towards what they have done? The reason that the psalmist was able to have this anger is because he loved God's words. He confesses in verse 159 as follows, "Look how I love your precepts, Lord. Revive me according to your gracious love." The person who loves God's word is a person who loves God. And the person who does what God desires. Even if it's not easy for us to do what God desires us to do, we have to be persons who try to do so. A person who loves God's words also knows to be angry at actions that God dislikes. This anger, ironically, is possible only when one dwells in the mercy of God. It is only when one has this mercy that one can pray that they will be able to climb out of the pit of suffering. And such a person knows not to give up on hope for life in midst of troubles, and that God is the person who can deliver him or her who is in midst of suffering. The psalmist repeats not less than 3 times for God to save him. Preserve my life according to your promise. Preserve my life according to your laws. Preserve my life, Lord, in accordance with your love. The psalmist finds the basis of life in God's words. He realized through the words that it is God who can deliver him who has fallen into a pit of suffering and asked for deliverance. The 20th stanza of Psalm 119 is a stanza that tells us that God's words are our very salvation. The last verse testifies well that this is unchanging truth. All your words are true. All your righteous laws are eternal. What is the meaning of 강령, which is referred to in the Korean Bible in this verse when speaking of God's words? It means the big roots that are the basis of something. The Hebrew word rosh in the original text that is translated into 강령 means the head or the origin or totality. We can say that it means the essence or the big plot. Then what is the essence or the big plot that is the fundamental basis of the Lord's words? What is it that the writer, what is this that the writer of the psalm is testifying that it is the truth? All words of God from the beginning is the truth, but wouldn't the 강령 of the Bible, Jesus? What is the Old Testament? It is simply testaments about Messiah who is to come. What is the New Testament? It is testaments about Messiah who has come. In all aspects of our lives, the essence, the overarching plot, which is the basis of all things, should be Jesus Christ. Jesus is the truth. This is what Jesus says. I am the way, the truth, and life. The 강령 of God's words is Jesus who is the truth. The words of the Lord are eternal. Even if the heavens fall away, the words of the Lord will not. And so a person who believes in and relies on the Lord, who is the truth, who is eternal, who is the Gangnyeong of the Bible, will not lose hope in life, even if he is in pit of suffering. No, he cannot give up on hope, because the Lord is the eternal being who gives eternal life. Only the person who believes this can pray, "Save me." Let us, during this week, look upon the Lord, who is the Gangnyeong of the Bible, as we live. For those who are now in the middle of suffering, my wish is that you would pray to be delivered in Jesus, who is the Gangnyeong of the words of the Lord, and be graced with deliverance. Let us pray. Father God, thank you that you have given us the grace in which we can look up and expect salvation from you when we are in a pit of suffering. Rather than asking ourselves why we have to be in the pit of suffering and dwelling in self-pity, help us to realize the reason why we must continue with our life, reflecting on your words in the pit of suffering. Let us regain our life, Lord, by remembering that you are the one who will defend and deliver us from the pit of suffering. Allow us to realize what great and wonderful grace it is to dwell in the womb of your words when we are in the midst of suffering. We thank you that you have given us salvation through Jesus, who is the Gangnyeong of the Lord's words. May we know that Jesus is the essence of the Bible, the big plot, and love Jesus, who has given us eternal love. And by the measure of our love for Jesus, who is truth, allow us to walk the path that Jesus has taught. Allow us to remember, Lord, there were wars, famines, fear, during and at the time in history when people did not seek your words. We pray that this country will seek your words and thereby will regain new life. May our country, Korea, seek your words so that it will be a nation free of war. May our people dwell in the womb of your words so that our nation will overflow with new life. I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.